The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
My text today has already been read, but let me read it one more time. It doesn't hurt to read Scripture more than once. So Mark chapter 10, if you will. Mark chapter 10, right toward the end of the chapter. And I'm going to read it with some editorial comments and then proceed with the message. I was going to retell the story, but there's no point in doing that. I'll just use a few editorial comments. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46 and reading to the end of the chapter. And they came to Jericho. Jericho is a city of palms down in the tropical section of Israel. Jericho is actually about 800 feet below sea level. That whole valley would be flooded with Mediterranean seawater if it could get over the mountains, but there are mountains that keep it out. And so Jericho is about 800 feet below sea level, a little over 800 feet below sea level. Since way down low and has a tropical climate, palm trees grow there. Date palms particularly grow in that valley in these days. Though there were trees that grew there, many trees. A great forest in Jordan in years gone by. So they, Jesus and his disciples, came to Jericho, one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, notice that, it was a great crowd of people. Pilgrims always traveled in groups for fear of thieves and robbers, but this was a great crowd, a huge number of people accompanying Jesus. As he was leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, you got that pronunciation right on, spot on there, brother. Bartimaeus, the word bar is Aramaic for son of. In Hebrew, it would be ben or bane, but in Aramaic, it's bar. So this is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and Mark gives the translation. A blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, simply repeating Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, notice this, son of David. Mark that in your memory because I'll talk about that in the message. Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, told him to hush, pipe down. You know, Jesus is too busy. He's got things to do. He won't pay any attention to a person like you, telling him to be silent. But he cried all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, the translation you use says coat, it's a cloak, it's the outer garment. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, we say rabbi, means simply my teacher, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight. And then notice what he did. He got in with the company of Jesus and followed him on the road. Father, give us the message from this passage today that we need. I beg in Jesus' name, amen. Every miracle of Jesus was an acted parable. And what I mean by that is, though it related to real people, the miracles related to real people and solved their problems, took care of their needs, there were spiritual lessons to be drawn from it. For example, here, Bartimaeus was a real man. No two ways about it. Don't doubt it at all. He was a real man who had real eyes. And his eyes really did not work. He was blind as a bat. He could not see. He really could not see. Jesus really gave him sight, and he joined the company of Jesus going on up to the city of Jerusalem. So it's a real story about a real guy. Jesus really gave him sight. But Bartimaeus' physical problem reflected a spiritual problem that many people have. That's what I mean when I say it's an acted parable. There are lessons to be learned in the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm. Jesus heals. Can I tell you that? Jesus is the healer. In fact, all healing comes from God. Doctors bind the wounds. Help me here. Doctors bind the wounds, but it's Jesus who heals them. God does the healing or there'd be no healing. I'm going to give my doctor friend back here after the service and make her sign a confession that that's the truth. I'm teasing, but really, all healing comes from God. I believe in divine healing. I'm not much on divine healers, but I believe that all healing comes from God. He heals our diseases. So his physical problem that Jesus healed physically reflected the spiritual problem that many people have. You see, the Bible indicates that we are weird. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We have two sets of eyes. Did you know that? We have one set in our head, these that you're looking at right here or that you're looking out with. And then there are a set of eyes in your heart. You have two sets of eyes. One sees the physical material world. The other sees the spiritual world. Those of the heart see the spiritual world. And the Bible says that while there are many, many people who can see physically, there are a lot of people who just cannot see spiritual things at all. They are stone blind. The Bible says that the devil blinds men. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul wrote, Satan, the god of this world, blinds the minds of people lest they see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of forgiveness and sonship and acceptance by God and a home in heaven, lest they see. The devil blinds them so they do not see, and they go on their way in darkness. Paul said, the unsaved are darkened in their understanding. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. That means they have no spiritual vision. They're darkened in their understanding, blind to spiritual realities. And 1 John says, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not see where he's going because darkness has blinded his eyes. He's blind. A lost person, a person without Christ, someone who's never committed himself to the Lord Jesus and never accepted Jesus is stone blind spiritually. Simply cannot see and understand the things of the Spirit. He can see the physical world, but as far as spiritual things are concerned, he's totally blind and oblivious to those things. Now, having established that that's our problem, the problem all of us have, unless we have come to Christ and been made whole, had our eyes touched by him and received spiritual life and spiritual vision, even then, there are several things a blind man can see. And these things may lead him to Jesus. For example, I want to point out four things this morning. Even a blind man can see that he cannot see. That may sound like a contradiction in terms to you. But even a blind man can see that he cannot see. Bartimaeus saw that he could not see. Some are blind to their own blindness. They do not see, they cannot see, but not Bartimaeus. He realized that others saw a world that he did not see. It was useless to talk to Bartimaeus about the beauty of a rainbow. He couldn't see. Others were aware of a world that he was not aware of. Had no meaning to him. He could not see it. It was useless to talk to Bartimaeus about the beauty of the moon and the stars. Bartimaeus could not see. He heard others talk about those realities, but for him, they didn't exist. They were not there. But he was aware that there was a world that he could not see. I could go on multiplying examples, but the point is, other people could see stuff Bartimaeus couldn't see, and he became aware of that. Even a blind man can see that he cannot see. And the thing about Bartimaeus that's commendable is he faced that fact and admitted he had a huge problem. Had he not seen that he could not see, he might have settled for a smaller mercy from Jesus. He might still have cried out to Jesus, but he might have settled for a smaller mercy from him. Lord, I have a little problem. Hey, Jesus of Nazareth, come over and help me with my problem. I need a little money. I don't have much money. The people have been really parsimonious this morning. They've been stingy. And I don't have much money. I've been begging all morning, and my cup is nearly still empty. Jesus, I need some new clothes. These are about worn out. Jesus, I need somebody to buy me dinner. Jesus, I need a roof over my head. I sleep on the streets at night. Jesus, I need a friend. Now, he may have needed all these things, but those were small matters. He had a bigger problem than any of those or all of those put together. Had he asked for these smaller mercies, he would have gone away still stone blind. It was not a small problem that he had. It's a big problem. He couldn't see, and he needed and wanted to be able to see. There's a man in this town, and maybe in this room this morning, who will never be saved, never have spiritual sight or spiritual life, because he turns a blind eye to his own spiritual blindness. He goes around in life thinking he has only small problems that he needs help with, only small things. I've got a small problem here. I have a test in chemistry next week, and I need some help with that test. I have a problem in my marriage, and I just need some help with that. If you'd fix my marriage so that it's comfortable instead of conflictual, I'd be appreciative of that. Got a small problem with a kid. Most of my children, or the kids in my class, are well-behaved. But I've got one or two that really need fixing. God, if you could just fix them, I'd be happy. A small problem here. I have a problem with alcohol or drugs or pornography. I just need that little problem fixed. My business needs a little boost from you. I just need that small mercy. God, I'm sick. I've got the flu, and I need your help to get through this. I'm not feeling good. Just help me feel good and get over this illness, and that's all I'll need from you. God, I got to have an operation. I got four bypasses and a valve problem, and I just need you to get me through that all right. If you just help me with this little problem, that's all I need. Far too often, people who are spiritually blind refuse to see they are spiritually blind and need a major mercy from God. And those who refuse to see that they are blind and have this huge problem that they need help from God to handle, they will die in their darkness. Nobody will ever come to Jesus till he faces that sharp-edged fact that he has a great need. Cannot see, and he needs God to give him the ability to see. So let me ask you, have you come to the point in your life, if you are spiritually blind, have you come to the point that you see that you cannot see? If so, then you may be on your way to Christ. There's a second thing here that I want to call to your attention. That is, even a blind man can see that he needs help only Jesus can give. Only Jesus could do for this man what he needed done. He needed his sight restored. Bartimaeus knew that. When he had had money, he'd gone to see doctors. He tried every home remedy anybody had ever suggested. He strained his eyes time and time and time again to see, but nothing worked. He was at the end of his rope. He had no other alternatives. He had no plan B or C or D or F or Z. If Jesus did not restore his sight, he would live and die in darkness. He needed help only Jesus could give. He had heard talk about the miracles Jesus had done. In fact, it hadn't been too many days before this that all Judea was set abuzz with the news that Jesus had raised a man from the dead. Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, 3 days in the tomb, And Jesus had given him new life. And there stirred hope in the heart of Bartimaeus when he heard this very Jesus was now within voice range, was now within shouting distance. This very Jesus who had given life to a dead body might give sight to his dead eyes. And so he cried for Jesus. Jesus said, made the lame to walk. He made the deaf to hear. He made the mute to speak. And all of these, I don't know if I put this in those notes or not, the sketch, but all of these were things the Old Testament said Messiah would do when he got here. Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. If that's not in your notes, write it in the margin. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 said, these are things Messiah will do when he arrives. He will take a lame person and give him the ability to walk. He will take a deaf person and give him the ability to hear. He will take a mute person and give him the ability to speak. And one of the other things that's listed in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 is he will give sight to the blind. Now, what is not said in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 is that giving sight to the blind, get this, giving sight to the blind was a miracle that God reserved for himself or for his Messiah. That was something only God could do. Only God could give sight to the blind or God's Messiah. And so, Bartimaeus addressed Jesus not as Jesus of Nazareth, but as Son of David. It's a messianic title, the title of the Messiah. Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you realize that there were no people, no blind people who received their sight in the Old Testament? Not a single blind person was healed in all the Old Testament. Miracles galore, but no blind person has ever received their sight. And after Jesus, nobody received their sight. God or his Messiah were the only ones. And Bartimaeus recognized in Jesus the Messiah. And he cried out to him, Son of David, you are the Messiah. I acknowledge you as Messiah. Can you help me? Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus alone could give him what he needed. As a man of this community, and maybe in this room this morning, who will never be saved and get spiritual sight and spiritual life, though he knows he's lost and wants to be saved, but he's trying to save himself. He's straining his eyes to see into the spiritual darkness that's around him. Cannot see spiritual realities. No matter how hard he strains his eyes, it's useless. And no one else can help him. But he seems to be rather confident he can handle his blindness on his own. Do you see that you need help only Jesus can give? If so, you may be on your way to the Lord. There's a third thing I see here. Only a blind man, or even a blind man, can see that he should call on Jesus. Bartimaeus saw that. Even if he was blind, he saw that he ought to call on Jesus. Jesus is passing by. I need his help. I need to call on Jesus. And he did. Son of David, have mercy on me. Some people tried to keep him from crying out like that, but they couldn't stop him. He just yelled louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. When people try to discourage the spiritually blind from calling on Jesus, what can a blind man do? Call on Jesus anyhow. And that's what Bartimaeus did. He called on Jesus anyhow. I don't want you to notice that he called in faith, believing that Jesus could handle his problem. Here's how I know this. I'm not speaking at random. When Jesus said, tell the man to come here, Bartimaeus heard, and he leaped up before Jesus' disciples or any of his folks around him could get there. And he threw aside his cloak. Think about it. A cloak was a man's most prized possession. If you owed somebody money and they were looking for surety, if they were looking for something to hold to guarantee that you would pay that, the law forbade them to take your cloak and keep it. It was a man's most prized and useful possession. At night, he slept in his cloak, as did others. In the daytime, Bartimaeus spread his cloak around him to catch the coins that people may toss in his direction and not quite get there. It was an important possession, a prized possession. And usually, people kept those cloaks close to them, especially if they were blind. Why would a blind man throw his cloak aside? I tell you why. He expected to be able to see to find it when he came back from Jesus. Now, don't shout me down. Don't shout me down, but that's what he was doing. He got up and threw his cloak to one side. He didn't bother to lay it down carefully so he could find it when he came back still blind. He expected to be able to see the cloak when he came back from Jesus' side. Folks, that's faith. That's rock solid faith. That is the kind of faith that gets Jesus' attention and calls for his action. There's a man in this town and maybe in this room who sees that he cannot see. He knows he is lost. He wants spiritual sight. He knows he needs to be saved. He sees Jesus as his only hope, but he will never be saved because he's waiting for something to hit him. Instead of calling on Jesus and asking Jesus to save him, he's waiting for God to take charge of the whole situation, to sort of swoop down and sweep him off of his feet and save him even against his will. If God wants me, let him come and get me. No, no. Such a man will live and die in darkness. You call on Jesus. You ask Jesus for mercy, or you will sit where you are and die in darkness. Do you see that you need to call on Jesus? If so, you may be on your way to the Savior. The last thing I see here is that even a blind man can see it may be his last chance. Bartimaeus did. The crowd said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Present tense verb. He is passing by. He's right here in the neighborhood. He's within shouting range. He is here now, but wait a few seconds and he'll be gone. And Bartimaeus thought to himself, this may be my last chance. I better take it. And he did. He could not have known this, but it was Bartimaeus' last chance. I don't speak idly about this, but had he hesitated, he would have sat in darkness for the rest of his life because Jesus was on his last trip to Jerusalem. This is the end of the story, folks. He is on his way to the holy city, not just for Passover, but to be nailed to a cross and be bled dry on the hill of Calvary. Jesus would never come to Jericho again. Bartimaeus would never meet Jesus again in this life. It was his last chance to be healed by Jesus. I don't think he knew that. I don't know that he could have known that. There's more to it than he knew. But even a blind man can see, as Bartimaeus did, that an opportunity not taken passes. Jesus is passing. He is not here to make his home. He's not here to sit down by you, Bartimaeus, and wait for you. He's not here to hang around and see if one day you may call on him. Jesus is passing. That means he's here now, but nothing guarantees that he will come again. You know, there are seasons of the soul when the Lord passes by. Conscience strikes. The heart melts, grows tender. The door of opportunity opens. The Spirit draws. But if the man or woman or boy or girl refuses to act, The spirit leaves, the call fades, the conscience cools, the heart hardens, and the door closes. And there's nothing that guarantees the Lord will come that way again. It was Bartimaeus' last chance. And any opportunity may be the last opportunity. There's a man in this town, maybe in this room this morning, who will never be saved to get spiritual sight and spiritual life, though he wants to and plans to, but he will never get it because he passes up this opportunity. And it may, I'm not saying it is, but it may be the last chance. Jesus may not come your way again. I don't speak at random. He was not coming back to Jericho, and he may not come back to Mooringsport to talk to you. He may not. Let me close with this glad observation. Out of all the racket on the road that day, from the great group of pilgrims who were excitedly moving toward Jerusalem up to the holy city on the mount, above all the din of the crowd, Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry. I'm sure Bartimaeus used all the strength of his lungs could muster up. I'm sure he yelled as loud as he possibly could. But that was a lot of racket to overcome. But Jesus heard Bartimaeus. He hears the one among the many. And among the billions of Earth's inhabitants, and in this vast universe, the Lord still hears the voice of even one who cries out, "Have mercy on me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me." You utter those words, I'll guarantee you the Lord Jesus hears them. And I'll also guarantee this, he never turns away a single soul who calls to him. You know how I know that? Because he said that. In John 6, verse 37, I believe it is, he said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That's good King James English that says, I won't ever turn away anybody who comes to me. Call on me, and I assure you I will hear you and answer that call. If you see that you cannot see, if you see that only Jesus can help you, if you see you should call on Jesus, and if you see this may be your last chance, let me urge you, call on Jesus. Now, don't let the day pass without calling on Jesus. Father, we've come to a moment of decision. There may be folks here today who need to call on you as Bartimaeus needed to call on you. Folks who are spiritually blind but know that there's a spiritual world out there that they cannot see and cannot experience, cannot enter into. But they know it's there. And something within cries out, you need to get in touch with that unseen world. Help them see they can do it only through Jesus and that they should now call on him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I'm sure you've been talking to other people about other things. And whatever it is you've been talking to folks about, I pray that they would be honest enough to say, God's dealing with me about this and their decisions that I face and need to make. God may be trying to call you to full-time Christian service. Maybe he's trying to call you to preach. That's not just for 15-year-olds. That's for 50 and 60 and 70-year-olds. God's been trying for years to call some of you to gospel ministry. God may be trying to call you just to work with children in this church. I'm grateful for what we're now doing, but we need help. And I'm grateful for what has been done, but there's still work to be done. God may be calling you to work with youth in this church. alongside Chris. God may be calling you to sing in the choir when the choir gets booted off again alongside Max and Patty. So I don't know what God may be saying to you, but whatever it is, say yes to him and let him have his way. Father, have your way in this invitation time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.